I'm in Psalm 88 this evening. Let's, if you find your place or why you're finding it, let's stand together. And we'll deal with this psalm tonight. It's a very unusual psalm. I think you'll see even as we read it. I'll point out some things that are different in this psalm than most of the psalms that we've studied thus far and we'll study as we're making our way through the psalms. And we're a little over halfway, so if you do the math, we're about 5 years from being done. And we've made it 88 here. And let's take a look at this psalm here. It begins, O Lord God of my salvation, I have cried day and night before thee. Let my prayer come before thee, incline thine ear unto my cry. For my soul is full of troubles, and my life draweth nigh unto the grave. I am counted with them that go down into the pit. I am as a man that hath no strength, free among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, whom thou rememberest no more, and they are cut off from thy hand. Thou hast laid me in the lowest pit, in darkness, in the deeps. Thy wrath lieth hard upon me, and thou hast afflicted me with all thy waves, Selah. Thou hast put away mine acquaintance far from me. Thou hast made me an abomination unto them. I am shut up, and I cannot come forth. Mine eye mourneth by reason of affliction. Lord, I have called daily upon thee. I have stretched out my hands unto thee. Wilt thou show wonders to the dead? Shall the dead arise and praise thee? Selah. Shall thy loving kindness be declared in the grave, or thy faithfulness in destruction? Shall thy wonders be known in the dark, and thy righteousness in the land of forgetfulness? But unto thee have I cried, O Lord, and in the morning shall my prayer prevent thee. Lord, why castest thou off my soul? Why hidest thou thy face from me? I am afflicted and ready to die from my youth up. While I suffer thy terrors, I am distracted. Thy fierce wrath goeth over me. Thy terrors have cut me off. They came round about me daily like water. They compassed me about together. Lover and friend hast thou put far from me, and mine acquaintance into darkness. Now, amen, you can go ahead and be seated. That's pretty depressing, ain't it? Amen, I'm afflicted. I'm in the deep. I'm in the darkness. Ain't nothing going on. I'm praying. I'm pouring out my soul to God, and God ain't hearing. I mean, this psalm is filled with all kinds of things. Amen. Depressing things and just a tone of great, great despair. And this evening, I want to deal with it, and it'll take me a minute to get where we want to go. And I won't belabor the sad part of it, but I have to make our way through it. But I want to give us some truth tonight, with the Lord being our helper, that I think applies to where maybe some of you are tonight, where maybe some of us have been in the past, and surely all of us can look forward to in days to come. We got to learn how to handle situations of life that bring it a sad tone into our soul. And so let's pray together this evening, and we'll look at this psalm tonight. Heavenly Father, Lord, tonight I'm so thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ and His good grace upon us. Lord, we know tonight that were it not for the grace of God, we'd not be what we are tonight. Lord, though we've many failures, and Lord, we've many areas in our life that, Lord, would cause us to hang our head in shame. Lord, we are mindful tonight that, Lord, You made a difference and a change in our life when You saved us. We're not what we used to be, and Lord, it doth not yet appear what we shall be. And so, Lord, we're looking to what You've made us, Lord, by Your grace and what You're doing in our life today. We're thankful and say thank You for the blessed hope of what we're going to be one of these days when Jesus comes back. Lord, tonight we need Your help. Lord, we're about ready to deal with this psalm that, Lord, no doubt, as we'll reference here in a moment, is one of the most sad songs in all the Scripture. Lord, I pray tonight that, Lord, as we deal with it, help us, Lord, relate to these that are here tonight that maybe are in this kind of a season in their life. Lord, I know where they're at, and Lord, I've been there. Lord, tonight I pray the Word of God would minister to all of us tonight. And Lord, help us to get a hold of the truth, Lord, of why we believe you put this psalm in the Word of God. And Lord, we'll thank you for all that you do. We love you tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Psalm 88. Let me teach you some things tonight, if the Lord will help us. Maybe work our way into preaching tonight. As you pray for us, listen, let's get some help from the Lord. Psalm 88 was written by one of the three worship leaders of the house of God, a man by the name of Heman. You'll find that in the heading of this psalm, as we'll find as well, that though its background, the background of Psalm 88 is unclear, it was written to be sung in worship. And that is interesting that it's in the songs that they would sing in their worship, but it was to be sung by, again, the sons of Korah. We understand there were three men primarily responsible for the leadership of worship in the house of God in the Old Testament, especially in the days of David. And we've looked at the first two, and now this psalm affords us to take a little look into the life of this third man. Of course, you have Asaph, probably the most prominent of the three leaders of the worship of the house of God. And then we've looked at the man Jeduthun, who has penned other psalms that we've looked at. And here tonight, we look at this man, Heman. And somebody would say, He-Man. I don't know how you'd say it, but I call him Heman. And Heman was that man, I believe, no less prominent in the worship and leading of the worship of the house of God there in the Old Testament, again in the days of David. And he's a prominent figure, and I may even do some studies with you on this man in great detail. But the psalm itself gives us insight into the life of Heman during this time. We don't know what all is going on. I would suspect in reading this and some of the references that are made to trouble and affliction, that Heman is in a time of his life, probably of some sort of physical ailment that has led to a melancholy spirit or a spirit of depression that has fallen upon his very soul. The heading of this psalm reveals this to be indeed a song of affliction. If you got your Bible there, if you got a Bible that has the heading of this psalm as it would have been placed in the Hebrew songbook, the Bible says here, a song or psalm for the sons of Korah to the chief musician. Notice the next two Hebrew phrases that are used here. Mehalath, Leonoth. And Mehalath means simply afflicted, sick, and weak. And I think there's a reference to that. As we've read these 18 verses, this psalm, no doubt, Heman is in a time of affliction. He's in a time of sickness, and no doubt he's in a time of weakness. The word, Hebrew word, mehalath, also means to grieve or be rubbed, worn. And so we find here that this is exactly where Heman is at. He's going through some kind of situation that is rubbed away in his very spirit and his very soul and likely his very body. He is afflicted, it seems like, in many ways that men and women become afflicted. And Mehalath simply deals with some of what he's going through. Notice the next word, Leonoth, simply means looking down or browbeaten. It means to depress. And so Heman is in a place where his affliction and his sickness and his weakness has brought him to a place in his grief that he's now beat down. He finds himself going through life simply looking down with the weight of the world upon his shoulder. And we get there sometimes. We can relate to that. Have you ever met somebody that for the most part There always seem to be, for the most part, very uplifting people, joyful people, rejoicing people. People that just have a spirit about them where they're always just seem to be up. And then you see them going through something and that weight and that burden begins to cause their shoulders maybe to slump and they look down. This is where Heman is at. And so the reality of his grief and the reality of his trouble has settled in this psalm, and he's bearing his heart. He's bearing to himself. He's bearing to God. And God has bore it to all of us all these years later, preserved in the Word of God, I believe, to reflect the idea, the reality of these seasons that we go through. I don't know about you, but when I began to go through maybe some sort of, I've not had a lot of a physical affliction, but just grief, maybe because of some situation, a spirit of whatever kind of gets on us and we're going down. It's amazing how many times we feel like we're the only one in that situation. We're the only one that is hurting. We're the only one that's ever been through what we're going through. But I believe when we read the Word of God in Psalm 88, Heman is reminding you and I, hey man, we're not the only ones to go through these type of things. And even a man, I'm talking about one of the most worshipful men in the land of Israel in his day, one of the heroes of the Jewish faith, was a man that experienced troubles and affliction and grief, and my friend mounted up on his life to the point that he felt like, we'll see in a moment, there was no way out. And so I find a little bit of comfort, if I can put it this way, and I hate to take any glory in Heman's pain and despair, amen, but it does comfort me tonight to know, amen, if a man like him is going to face times like that and he lived to tell about it, then you and I are going to face times like this. And if he could live and tell about it, you and I have lived and shall live to tell about it. And so I want to use a carnal illustration tonight. And I text my wife today to ask what she knew about this. And she acted real spiritual. She said, I don't know nothing about all that. She gave me some little old thing. But I began to do a little bit of research, and don't stone me tonight, all right? This is real carnal, but amen, you didn't dream in a million years you'd get an illustration like this, amen. But there's a man in the worldly singing realm, a man by the name of Paul Simon. Paul Simon wrote the hit song for you, and prop some of you old timers will remember the group, Simon and Garfunkel. How many of y'all remember Simon and Garfunkel? Amen. 1964, Paul Simon wrote a song titled The Song of Silence. And in The Song of Silence, it has the opening line that goes this. Now, I'm not going to sing it, but it says, "Hello, darkness, my old friend." My wife said, if you use that tonight, it's going to be stuck in my head. And I said, well, I done asked you about it, so it's already stuck in your head. And you say, preacher, do you know that song? Well, I'll tell you how I know it. Amen. The phrase, the opening line of that song, "Hello, Darkness, My Old Friend," has been spoofed behind and on top of a lot of videos that almost mock people and their despair, something going on that they're weeping and crying. Maybe it's a fan of a ball team that just got beat, and they'll spoof that line, "Hello, darkness, my old friend," on top of it. I don't know much about the song other than the research I did today. And though it's used to mock people today, Paul Simon actually wrote this song about, and I quote him, his youthful alienation that he felt while growing up. And when he wrote that song, he was reflecting on some of the things that he had experienced as a young person, and was writing about the darkness and the nighttime settling in and the silence of that. And you say, preacher, why would you use that? I think Psalm 88 is about Heman's relationship to the darkness. When you read Psalm 88, he is definitely feeling some alienation. He is definitely feeling some affliction. He has definitely encountered some adversity along the way. And the way that he communicates this, and he uses several illustrations and pictures for you and I, he speaks about waves that are coming up upon him. He speaks of the grave and being lowered down into a pit. But one of the ways that he uses several times in this psalm is the matter of darkness. Notice with me in verse number 6, thou hast laid me in the lowest pit, in darkness, in the deeps. Look with me in verse number 12, shall thy wonders be known in the dark? And then notice verse number 18, where he said, in mine acquaintance, into darkness. Into darkness. This psalm is one of dark and sad notes, and has been referenced by some as the saddest song in Scripture. Most of the psalms that we have in the Word of God, when we read them, and as we've studied now on our 88th one, what we find is many of the psalms deal with some sort of affliction, some sort of trouble that has come in that particular psalmist's life. But unlike most all the other songs, in that those other psalms maybe deal with the trouble, but somehow that psalmist in that song finds some ways to praise God. And this psalm for 18 verses, it's just dark, darkness, waves, pits, trouble, affliction, and it just takes a sad tone. And in fact, what's amazing to me is when you read some of them other psalms, they maybe begin with the trouble, but then they end with the psalmist saying, I'm going to praise God. And God's mercy and goodness endures forever. Notice the last word of this psalm is darkness. It's darkness. He ends it talking about all I can see in front of me. I don't see any light. I don't see any way that I'm going to be able to praise God. And Heman closes this psalm simply in the dark. And so I want to use our illustration, and I'm going to, and I don't know, I hope it ain't sacrilegious. I've wrestled with it some, and it's all I could come up with. But we're preaching tonight on Hello Darkness, My Old Friend. And if you live long enough, now that you're saved, if you're saved tonight, if you live long enough, you're going to know what it is to face seasons of darkness, seasons of despair, seasons that you're going to describe them many different ways, but it all comes back to the idea of a dark time in our life that just seems to be filled, my friend, with a lot of hopelessness. And that's where Heman is at. You say, preacher, is he a saved man? Yes, he's saved, but he still has a man to learn to be friends with the dark. A preacher, does he know what it is to worship God and to serve God? I would say Heman served God more fervently than you and I would ever even desire to serve God with, and yet he went through this season of darkness. And so in this psalm, we see several truths about how the darkness is affecting this saint of God and how the darkness sometimes affects you and I. And so let me give you this. It's the introductory outline. My main thought I want to get to in a moment. It'll take less time than this. But in verse 1, I noted the distress of the darkness. Notice what he said again. O Lord God of my salvation, I have cried day and night before thee. You know what he's saying is, I can't quit crying. I cry all day long and I cry all night long, and I am just distressed in the darkness that I'm going through. And there are times of our life where we just, amen, we go through a time of darkness and the distress of it that breaks our heart.
And we find ourselves weeping through that season. This is where Haman is at. Notice the desperation of the darkness in verses 2 and 3. Let my prayer come before thee, incline thine ear unto my cry. For my soul, listen, my soul is full of troubles, and my life draweth nigh unto the grave. And so he hits on this tone of being in the darkness, there is a desperation. Lord, I feel like everything in my soul has trouble touching it. In fact, Lord, there's such a desperation that I feel like I am dying in this darkness that I'm in. And he goes through this psalm and he references that by many different descriptions. But he hits on it there in verse number 3. My life draweth nigh unto the grave. Lord, I feel like the dark that I'm going through is going to kill me. You ever been there? Have you ever felt like you was not going to live to tell about it in a desperation? My friend began to set in the darkness. Verses 4 through 7, I call this the depression of the darkness. He said, I am counted with them that what? Go down into the pit. I am as a man that hath no strength. I don't have time to preach all these illustrations he's given, but through these verses, he is a man experiencing depression, the depression of the darkness. He said, I've got no strength. That's where you get when you're depressed. You find it hard to function. You find it hard to fulfill your responsibilities. You find it hard, my friend, to count yourself to be of any use or any worth to anybody. That's where he says, when I evaluate my life and put an estimate on it, he said, I'm just counted as one that's going down. He said, thou hast laid me, verse 6, hast laid me in the lowest pit, in darkness, in the deeps. And this is associated with him feeling like that the wrath of God has been laid against him, and that God is the one afflicting him with these waves that are beating against his life. Amen. The depression of the darkness. And I've heard even preachers say depression ain't real. Amen. Well, you're going to have to do something with Haman. Haman is experiencing depression of the darkness. Notice the depletion of the darkness, verses 8 through 14. Notice what he said, thou hast put away mine acquaintance far from me. Thou hast made me an abomination unto them. I am shut up, and I cannot come forth. Mine eye mourneth by reason of affliction. Lord, I have called daily upon thee. I have stretched out my hands unto thee. And through these verses, what he is saying is, I've lost all hope. There's a depletion of hope. When he speaks about acquaintance there, we would maybe think about a friend or those that he had been familiar with. Amen. But can I say maybe what he is saying is there's a depletion of everything that is familiar in my life. My routines are off schedule, and everything I've ever been acquainted with has been seemingly taken away from me, and is a man that is depleted of hope, a man that is depleted of joy, a man that seems to be, as he speaks, it is depleted of any kind of life worth living and any kind of peace that would dwell in his heart. I call it the darkness. Sooner or later, the longer you get acquainted with the darkness as a friend, hey man, I'm telling you, there'll be a depletion that begins to take place. Hey man, things you have always believed, you'll maybe begin to doubt. Hey man, and I like what one preacher said, hey man, don't ever forsake or doubt in the dark what God has taught and gave you in the light. My friend, can I say that's a wonderful statement? You ought to write it down and we ought to try to live by it. Amen. But the longer you're in the dark, the more depleted you'll be about those things that, my friend, that, amen, you've always believed. Amen. He asked some questions, and that is all the question asking that's going on in this psalm is evidence, And there's been a depletion of answers in his life. Ain't it amazing when everything's going well in our life, we got all the answers to everything. And then when the darkness comes, we're just filled with a lot of questions. And I remember when I first got saved, first got to preaching, especially when I first got to pastoring. Amen. I thought everybody, amen, was going to love me. I thought everybody needed to hear what I had to say because I had all the answers. And I was going to solve all their problems and all the world's problems and all religion's problems. Amen. You know what I learned? I didn't know half of what I thought I knew. I didn't know a thimbleful of what I wanted folk to think I knew. Amen. You said, how'd you get there? Amen. I went through the darkness and found I had a whole lot more questions than I'd ever have answers. Amen. As there was a depletion of answers when we go through the darkness. There's a lot of wilts and whys and hows and what fors and amen. He's doing all he can to figure everything out. Why? Amen. If you'd have met him on another day, if you'd have gone down the house of God with some kind of problem in your life, amen, prior to Psalm 88, this man is a prophet. This man teaches the word of God. Amen. This man can counsel you in the will of God. And when he got in the dark, Brother A.L., there's a depletion of all them answers, amen, that he had always had. And that's what the dark does to us. Look with me in verse 15 through 17. Amen. I see there that I see the distraction of the darkness. He said in verse 15, I am afflicted and ready to die from my youth up. Now the best I can think about what that means is kind of what Job said when he cursed the day of his birth and said, I wish I'd have died. I wish I'd have died back there when before I was even born. I wish I'd have been miscarried and not even been born and had the good life that I've had to get to the place where I am more afflicted than I could have ever imagined. And it kind of seems that that's what Heman is saying. I'm afflicted and ready to die from my youth up. Wish I'd have died before I wound up where I'm at. Notice what he said, while I suffer thy terrors, I am distracted. I am distracted. And so you know what the dark does? Hey man, it brings distractions into our life. And we've dealt with some of that in some of the more recent Psalms that we've studied about distraction. And that's where Heman is at. He said, I'm going through the dark, and yet I find that I'm not focused like I ought to be focused. My heart ain't in the things of God like it ought to be. And here he's wishing that he had died before he ever reached this point in his life. And he's distracted. Can I say tonight, amen, the darkness, my friend, when you get in it and you, my friend, have to go through it, amen, day after day after day in a season of your life of just dark day after one another, amen, it won't be long. You'll get distracted. You'll look at others that are doing well. Amen, and you'll get distracted with God's goodness on their life. Amen, you'll get distracted just focusing on the issue that is at hand. You'll get distracted. I see he gets distracted about those that have forsaken it. Amen, he's got distracted about God not seemingly hearing and answering his prayer. Amen, he's distracted a lot of ways in this psalm. And he says, Lord, in the darkness there's a distraction that I do not know how to deal with. He's distracted in thinking that God, in his fierce wrath and terrors and judgment, is dealing with him under chastisement. Notice with me the desertion in the darkness in verse 18. Amen. Here's how he feels now. He said, lover and friend, hast thou put far from me and mine acquaintance into darkness. And so there's a desertion that he senses in the dark. Amen. It seems to be affecting his family. Amen. When he talks about his lover, he's speaking no doubt of his spouse. And he speaks of his friend, those that, amen, maybe he's worshiped with, maybe those he's enjoyed fellowship with. And through the darkness, that darkness now seems to be, or he feels like, has begun to affect his relationships. Again, the matter of acquaintance, mine acquaintance, the things I'm familiar with. And so it's affected his family. It's affecting his friends there. It's affecting his familiarities. And just the way that he's always lived his life and got comfortable living his life, the darkness has settled in, and there's been a desertion of these things in his life. Now let me ask you, those are six things tonight about the darkness. Amen. And I should pray that we've not felt all of those things at one time as Heman has. Amen. Maybe we have. Maybe you've experienced some of them in dark seasons of your life. My question is, why would such a sad psalm be placed in the Word of God without any seeming prospect of change in this situation? Why would the Lord preserve this? We would look at this psalm and just if we read it as we did tonight and left it there and looked at it by way of the darkness and what Heman has gone through, we would have to say, Lord, this just doesn't seem to fit in the Word of God. Lord, why would you put such a psalm and leave it in the Word of God for us to look at and come seemingly to a conclusion that it ends with this man still in the darkness? And I began to look at this psalm and I thought I was going to give you one point and it's a good one. In fact, it'll be the first one I give you here in just a moment. But the more I meditated on this psalm the last several days, the Lord showed me a few other things that I want to point out to you this evening. In fact, three things and I'll be done. That we want to notice tonight is truths that are observed in this psalm and what we can do through the darkness. Because I'm going to be honest, if you're not in the dark, you will be one of these days. And if you're not acquainted with it, you'll be acquainted with it sometime in life. And I can remember, listen, I can remember going back, amen, even probably before I was saved, going through dark times. And you know, when you're young, you face dark times. And maybe adults don't believe that, but it's true. These young people know what it is to have these kind of seasons come into their life. And yet, as you get older, you kind of look back and you see what you're going through today. And you go, man, if I would have known back then what was coming down the road, if I had to face it then, there ain't no way I could have made it. And so I'm thankful for the grace of God that He gives in the dark. And I'm glad that I didn't face as a teenager some of the things that I faced. Amen. Maybe in recent years, there's no way I could have handled it. And so there is a measure of grace that we can find. Amen, in the dark. But what are we to learn from this psalm? Amen, when we feel like darkness is just that old friend, amen, that we're just hooked up with and there ain't going to be no difference. And we end our song, we may be singing songs, but in our soul, amen, we feel like our life is going to end in the darkness. Well, let me ask you this. What if it did? What if it did? What if things never got any better? What are you going to do? Amen. Because that's where Heman is at. Heman realizes or comes to a conclusion that it ain't going to get any better. It's all going to end. Amen. With me embraced with my old friend darkness. And so what are we going to do? If that is the way it would turn out, amen, what are some things we can do that'll help us? Amen. Make it through the darkness. Number one, write this down. Stay mindful of your salvation. If you're going to make it through the darkness, stay mindful of your salvation. Now, when I initially read this psalm and began to prepare for it for preaching, amen, I had that question. When I got done reading it a few times, Brother Mark, amen, I was so depressed, I wanted to, amen, run my head into a wall. Amen, darkness, despair, gloom, and agony on me. And I asked myself, and I asked the Lord, Lord, amen, surely there's got to be some hope somewhere in this psalm. And the Lord said, it's right there in the first line how Heman began this song. Look at it again if you would. O Lord God of my salvation. Is he in the darkness? You better believe that he is. Amen. In fact, he's going to go in some great detail. Amen. That I don't know is really going to help him to focus upon. Amen. But it does seem to be where he's at, and he ends it in the darkness. Amen. But I'm going to tell you what I think Heman was doing. Amen. He says it may be dark and it may stay dark. Amen. But I still know that I'm saved. Amen. And I'm glad tonight. Thank God there's a time in my life. Amen. Where I was in some of the greatest darkness a man could be in. The darkness of sin and the darkness of confusion. Amen. Having lived a life that Jesus said men love darkness rather than light. And they won't come to the light lest their deeds should be reproved. But I'm glad in the midst of the darkness of sin and the darkness of confusion and the darkness of my religion and the darkness of my rebellion, the Savior met me there. Amen. Called me by name, wooed me to Jesus, and saved my hell-deserving soul. Amen. I'm glad this evening I know the Lord is my salvation. And when you're going through the dark and you feel like it'll always be dark and it's just going to end being dark and there is no way out, amen, it does us good just to stay mindful of our salvation. Amen, your darkest day as a child of God, amen, won't come near the darkness you had before you got saved. Amen, and Heman is staying mindful of his salvation. Amen, as bad as it may get as a child of God, it's still far better, amen, than what we was in, where we were headed. Amen, and the shape our life was in. Amen, I'm glad tonight through all the darkness, amen, there's nothing that can separate me from the love of Christ and the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen, not nakedness, not peril, not sword, not famine. Amen, not things now nor things to come. Amen, thank God we are more than conquerors through the greatest darkness. Amen, not because we're anything, but amen, because the Lord Jesus reached down and saved us, amen, from our sin. And so if my life ends in the darkness, amen, thank God I'll wake in the light of His glory. Amen, to be absent from the body and to be taken out of this world, Paul said, is to be present with the Lord. Amen. That ain't true of everyone tonight. Everyone ain't saved. Everybody ain't going to heaven. There's even religious people that, and good people that, my friend, are going to live their life and draw their last breath and wake up in hell. Amen. But I'm glad I'm of that number, Brother Gerald, that has put my faith and my trust, having repented of my sin, amen, and have received the Lord Jesus Christ and been received of Him. Thank God I'm glad and mindful tonight of that I'm saved. Amen. And so in the midnight while in the prison having been beaten and shackled, my friend Paul and Silas began to sing. Amen. You say, preacher, what would make somebody sing in the dark like that? Amen. I don't know what they sung. They ain't no reference to it. Amen. But I can't help but, Brother Mag, think that some of them songs they sung, amen, they were causing themselves to be mindful of their salvation. Amen. That's why that old Philippian jailer, when the earth did quake it, and the shackles fell off the prisoner's hands and the doors flew open it, and he thought to take his own life, that, amen, Paul come rushing in saying, sir, do yourself no harm. Amen, we're all here. That Philippian jailer said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Amen, they had to be singing some songs about being saved. Amen, in the dark for that man to know, amen, that he had to be born again. Amen. Can I say tonight, when you're going through the dark, stay mindful of your salvation. Amen. He's the Lord of your salvation. He's the God of your salvation. Amen. Salvation is of the Lord, and had it not been for God, you'd still be lost in your sin, on your road to hell. Amen. Without any hope in this world or the world to come. Amen. But when I'm going through the dark, and it's hard sometimes, amen, it's got, I don't know if it's got harder or easier the older I've got. Amen. But I have learned, if you're going to make it through the dark, amen, you better stay mindful of your salvation. Thank God you ain't where you used to be. You ain't headed where you used to be. Amen. Because of the saving grace of God. Amen. To be mindful of our salvation. Amen. Let me just plug in right here a minute. Amen. When you're going through the dark, it do you well to remember, amen, that when we were ungodly, Christ Jesus condescended out of glory. Amen. Was conceived in a virgin womb of Mary. Amen. Delivered, amen, on the backside of Bethlehem in an old stable somewhere. Amen. As the Savior for this world. Amen. And he came in this world, and he lived in this world 33 and a half years. A man that lived a perfect life. A man that lived to please his heavenly Father. The man that, amen, was not a man like you and as a man, and yet was, but was the very God in flesh. Amen. Sent to bleed and to die for the sins of the human race. Amen. And in the end of his life, that's exactly what he did. Amen. He went to the Garden of Gethsemane and bowed his head and prayed. And being in great agony, sweated, as it were, great drops of blood out of his body. Amen. Surrendering and submitting himself to the plan of God. Amen. To drink the cup of the dregs of your sin and of man. Amen. And to let the old agonist hill called Calvary. Amen. Having been betrayed, led to Caiaphas' house. Amen. To be smote, have his beard plucked. Amen. To be led to Pilate and put on a mock trial. Amen. Led to Gabbatha's whipping post, had his back plowed, and his blood shed there that day, there in Praetorium's hall. Amen. To be crowned with thorns, to be stripped naked. Amen. To be led down the Via Dolorosa with an old rugged cross on his back. Amen. To lay his arms out openly and be nailed to that cross and raised there that day 2,000 years ago between heaven and earth. Amen. To be mocked and to be ridiculed, to thirst. Amen. To be spat upon, to be, amen, forsaken by men and by God. And yet, my friend, in the end, cried, "It is finished." Amen. Salvation and redemption's work by Calvary's hill and Calvary's blood had been offered to you and to me. Amen. I tell you what you do when you go through the darkness. Amen. You stay mindful of the faith. And when we could not save ourselves, amen, and when we couldn't go to heaven on our own merit, amen, when in waters and wafers and works would have never worked, that Jesus Christ came to where we were and laid down his life a ransom for our sin. Amen. And be mindful of the price that he paid. Amen. That you and I can be saved. And on top of all of that, when we was out in sin and rebellious and away from God and didn't know God, amen, he came to where we were again. Amen. And called us to himself and reached out and by grace lifted us out of a horrible pit and changed our life. I'll tell you what Heman learned. Amen. Even in the darkness, when you feel distressed and when you feel, my friend, distracted, and when you feel depleted, and when you feel deserted, and the darkness becomes your old friend, and God, I'll tell you what you do, Gerald. Amen. Be mad full of your salvation. Amen. Take your trip down memory's lane and remember what you used to be. Amen. You may be in the dark tonight, child of God, but at least, amen, you ain't some drunkard somewhere. Amen. At least you ain't living some immoral life. Amen. Of sin and all the world's pleasure. Amen. But your life has been turned over to God. Amen. Stay mindful of your salvation. Amen. Even in the dark, you're still saved. There ain't nothing the darkness and all that old friend can say or do. Amen. That'll change the salvation we have by the grace of God. Stay mindful of your salvation. Number two, amen, if you're taking notes, write this down. Stay prayerful with your God. Now, he goes through this psalm, and we could say tonight, Heman references the fact that he had been praying. And in praying and throughout this psalm, part of what the darkness has done is convinced him that seemingly nothing is happening in his life. Prayer ain't changing nothing. Are you listening? He said, I cried day and night before thee, verse 1. He begs God, let my prayer come before thee. Incline thine ear unto my cry. In other words, Lord, I've been praying. Lord, it don't seem like you're listening. Lord, it don't seem like you care. Lord, it doesn't seem like prayer is doing anything. Yet notice what he said in verse 13. But unto thee have I cried, O Lord, and in the morning shall my prayer prevent thee. You say, preacher, what do you see there? I see that in the dark we need to stay mindful of our salvation. But in the dark, even when it seems like prayer is not making a difference, even when it seems that God does not care, when it seems like between us and God there's some sort of hindrance or some sort of blockade, you know what Heman is saying in verse number 13? He is saying, I'll arise again in the morning and pray again. Amen. He said, in the morning shall my prayer prevent thee. That word prevent, it's an old English word. They didn't use it. Amen. In the translation, the King James Bible, like we would use it in our day, prevent means to hinder. Amen. But in the old English, this word prevent, it simply means to precede, acquaint, or to greet. Amen. In other words, in the morning, I'll greet God again in prayer. Amen. It doesn't seem like it's done anything up to this point, but it's the only hope I've got. Amen. The darkness has made me feel like there ain't no hope. And if I'm going to find any, I ain't going to find it outside of the secret place. I ain't going to find it bearing my heart to my friends. I ain't going to find it bearing my heart to my family. Amen. He said, I will arise in the morning. And when I get up, though darkness shall be by my side, I'll drop down upon my bended knee. I'll take my heart and my soul and lift it up to God one more time. Amen. Oh, I'm about to have a shouting spell. Amen. You say, why? Because I've been there when it seemed like, amen, prayer was not making a difference. I've been there when you get in the secret place and the darkness whispers, you're wasting your time. God don't care and ain't nothing happening. And buddy, I've been there when you get up the next morning and you do it over again. Amen. In one of them times, God shows up. And one of them times the darkness begins to flee. And one of them times, Brother Jerry, things began to change in your life. Amen. You know what I think Lord showed me in Psalm 88 about Heman? He's in the darkness and he's in a very, very dangerous place of his life. But if he will do what he promised he'd do in verse 13, Brother A.L., and get up on tomorrow morning, get down upon his face again and talk to his God, that's the hope that he had that would drive him through the darkness. Stay mindful of your salvation. Stay prayerful with your God. Number three, and I'm done, stay faithful to your duty. Heman, the Ezrahite. This is the man who is penning this. What I found to be interesting, Brother Tim, Heman's name literally means faithful. In other words, he is a man that had become known by his name that he was a faithful man. One of the things that I find interesting throughout all of Psalm 88, as dark as it is, in the depths of darkness that he describes, and all that he talks about and that we could reference tonight that is going on in his life, not one time did he ever say, God, I won't sing. Not one time did he ever say, God, I ain't going to church anymore. Not one time in all this psalm did he say, hey man, that he was going to walk away. Oh no, he talks about the darkness. He talks about, hey man, the despair and the distress and the desertion and the depletion. Hey man, but I'm going to tell you what I think. You know, I think why I think that God has put this psalm in the Word of God for you and me is because there is in this psalm, in this man, he made the idea that he intended no matter what would happen, hey man, no matter if the darkness did kill him, no matter if the darkness never faded away, hey man, he ends it saying, oh, it's just darkness. Hey man, but I tell you what he's going to do. He's going to stay faithful to his duty. Hey man, he's a man you can count on in the darkness. Hey man, he's still going to show up at the house of God. Hey man, he's a man, it didn't matter how dark it got. Hey man, he's still going to be in that choir singing no matter what. Hey man, he ain't going to let the darkness rob him of what he knows his responsibility is. And Brother Larry, he is going to stay faithful to his duty. And I challenge us with something tonight. It's something I've tried to live my life by. Hey man, and I wish I could tell you I've never told God I was going to quit. Hey man, I wish I could tell you I've never said, God, enough's enough. And Lord, I'm just going to be done with it. There's been some times that, hey man, I've whispered that up out of my heart. Hey man, but you know what I'm thankful for? Hey man, like old Jeremiah, there's something down in the heart and in the bones that, hey man, even when you whisper that between you and God, hey man, that burns, my friend, and will not let you stay. Hey man, it won't let you stay there, death. Hey man, and I, listen, I've tried to live my life. Hey man, that in the dark days that I don't quit on God. Hey man, you say, preacher, you've been through a lot. Hey man, I've been through enough to know. Hey man, sometimes you just gotta make your mind up. Hey man, I'm gonna preach anyway, and I'm gonna teach anyway, and I'm gonna sing anyway, and I'm gonna show up anyway, and I'm gonna be where I'm supposed to be anyway. I'm gonna do what I said I'd do anyway. Hey man, because if we let the darkness dictate all that, hey man, friend, none of us are gonna make it long. And God raise up some he-made, and God raise up, hey man, just so the Democrats don't get mad. Hey man. Some seamen, amen, and his rise and say, amen, I will stay faithful to my duty even through the darkness. It's what we need in this hour, amen, just faithfulness. Amen, amen, hallelujah. Sister Candy was telling me today that she had listened to Billy Mitchell. Brother Mitchell, I told her, I said, I miss that man. He had such a way, that man of God had such a way to take a profound truth and make a statement that just simplified it. And if you thought on it too hard, Brother Riley would smack you right upside your head. She said, I was listening to Billy Mitchell preach. Said he said that people can't be faithful because they ain't got no faith. I believe there's something to that. I'm going to tell you something. A lot of folk, amen, don't know nothing about being faithful through the dark and the hard times and just grinding it out. Heman said, closed it now. I mean, the last word of this psalm is darkness. But you know what he did in the morning? Went to his secret place, got down on his knees and prayed. Got up, went down the house of God and said, open your song book. Let's sing some Psalm 23. Amen. Why is he doing that? He could have called in and said, it's just too much. I can't handle it today. I'll be back with y'all in a few weeks. Let me get over this. No. You know why he didn't? Because he's faithful. When you go through the dark, child of God, you make up your mind, you're just going to be faithful to your duty. It ain't quitting time. Amen. You say, preacher, it's some tough days. Maybe we just need a break. Amen. That'd be the worst thing we could do. I've heard people, now think about this now. I'm done preaching. I know we got to go, but as a pastor, I've heard people say, Lucas, they've actually, and they don't think about what they're saying when they're saying it. They'll say, preacher, me and my family, we're just going through such a hard time right now. I think we'll take a break from church. Well, why would you do that when in the bad times, that's when you need church more than you've ever needed? Amen. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying sometimes you just got to say, I'm going to be faithful. And if the dark never leaves and I have to sing the rest of my life, hello, darkness, my old friend. I'll go to church in the dark. I'll sing my songs in the dark. I'll read my Bible in the dark. I'll pray in the dark. I'll sow win in the dark. I'll give my tithes and offerings in the dark. I'll support worldwide missions in the dark. Even if the darkness never lifts, and it will, but even if it doesn't, I want to stay faithful to my duty. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, we love you tonight. Thank you. Lord, this is one of them strange songs. Lord, it's been a few that we've come to that, Lord, kind of stumped us for a little bit. But Lord, seems like, Lord, you've always kind of give us a key to unlock them things, to teach us something. Lord, this psalm's been no different. We're thankful tonight. Lord, in the dark, Lord, you've taught us something through this great man. What it is, Lord, to have a relationship with God and with the darkness and to make it through. Help us, Lord. Be mindful tonight of our salvation, to be prayerful in the morning to our God, and Lord, to be faithful to our duty. Help us, Lord, in every way get a hold of these things. Help your people tonight. Lord, there's some here, there's some that, Lord, are watching. Lord, the live stream and have tuned in, and they've got a lot of darkness going on in their life. Lord, I pray tonight that they would be encouraged, Lord, through the example this man of God has set in this psalm. Lord, I pray, help us, Lord, to the sound of the trump of God, to be faithful to the finish. And we'll thank you for all you do for us. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen and amen.